I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yeah! Crushed it."
But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ah, the sweet sound of sports you love from Sling. The collide of football pads. The squeak of shoes on a basketball court. The crack of the bat on a home run. The slice of skates cutting across the ice. But what about this one? That's the sound of all the sports you love, all at once. Starting at $40 a month, experience it all live with Sling. Sling.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 23rd. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Jake Urban, 6.1 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks, 9 whiffs in 30% CSW. He's had these rare good runs, and I don't believe this is real because this curveball, yeah, it had a really nice day. 42% usage, 43% CSW. It wasn't this just, I don't know, he just threw it in the zone a ton. And it has a 10% swing strike rate this year with a sub-100 BABIP. His fastballs are 93, 94. They're fine. And that's it. So if you want a Vargas rule, this okay, but it gets Atlanta next, then Jake Irvin really is not the solution you're looking for. Jesus Lizardo had a fantastic start of 8 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. 18 whiffs, 37% CSW. Nick, everything's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, the command was, he was 1 to 2 ticks down on everything. We're talking like 1.7. across the board, which is just not good. I don't really think it's by design to like have better command or so. I will mention there was another starter, Cole Reagans, you might have heard of him, who also was down in his velocity, and it might have been a showcase of saving max effort. There is obviously this major push, or at least announcement, but hey, pitchers who throw closer to the max effort generally hurt their elbow more. And maybe these guys, Lizardo and Reagans, are saving a little bit more in the tank than they used to. I don't know. At least Lizardo did pitch well, and like I'm not really going to think about it now. And same with Reagans. Reagans didn't have his cutter or his slider really working, but he went 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 12 Ks, 15 whiffs, 35% CSW. I mean, that's just amazing. It was against the Tigers as well, though. He did get some nice fortunate called strikes here and there on the fastball. you can really pump four seamers in there against the Tigers and get away with it. And that's pretty much what Reagans did, but he was 93-84 at times, and he did push it in this final inning to 98 on the dot and second to last pitch, which is, yeah, okay, that's what we know Reagans can do, and he still has it in the tank, and that's really nice to see. So it does make me think that he is saving a little bit more than usual, which is, I think, honestly, a good thing. So especially considering that he's showcased failure later on in the game before, where it seems like he's lagging, his arm is a little more tired, and he walks batters a little bit later. The idea that he ramps up now a little bit is a good thing. Chris Bassett against the White Sox, 7 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. That is Chris Bassett doing Chris Bassett things against the White Sox. Good to see it. He's more like a Toby, though, so I'm not really going to read into that much. I do want to mention, opposite of Reagan's was Tarek Skubal. It was a lovely time at 2:10 yesterday. We did a live stream of that game of Royals versus Tigers. It was awesome here on playback.tv. If you guys are unaware, what's really cool about Playback, and they haven't implemented it yet, it's in the cards for this season. Just be aware of this, and I'm going to consistently mention it. It is live streaming for live sports. So Twitch for live sports is what it is. You're saying, Nick, that game wasn't on the screen. It's that you're correct, but that is the plan. That is what they're trying to do, and later this year it will be there. So in the future, I'm going to make it very clear that we're able to watch it together. But hot dang, how many of you listening right now have been at home watching a game and just wish they had a community to watch it with? That is what this is. It's awesome. It is so, so cool, especially now that we all watch baseball kind of more segmented than we ever have. Playback is a place that we can all watch games together with the community. And because it'll be something that will be linked to your MLB.TV account, that means we can all be watching it at the same cadence. So you won't be spoiled anything whatsoever. Think of it like a watch party, like on Netflix or something with your friends. Yeah, it's with the best baseball community around, with like 150 plus people. Sometimes you have had like 300, 400. So come on by. It's free. There's no credit card or anything like that you need to put in. It's just the best. So come on down. And Tarek Skubal, we watched together. We didn't have the video. But I was announcing the entire way through. 5 innings, 4 and runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Honestly, I think Skubal had a little bit of an issue with his finger. That is, I believe his callus was getting in the way of his changeup, or just really his grip on the ball. And it really did look like he wasn't able to go full gear. He also did not have his best fastball command and have his changeup really. He was actually pulling back on it. Jason Benetti wisely, or really astutely, pointed it out during the game that, hey, look, this changeup, which is the thing, like a 27% swing strike rate this year for Skubal, wasn't really there. He only had like one whiff, I think, in this entire game. So not really the best day for Skubal. Unfortunately, wasn't as good of a duel as we thought it might be. But what are you going to do? We move on. Tarek Skubal is still dope. It makes us feel dope. All right, we have Nestor Cortez doing good things against the Mariners. He only went 5 innings with 97 pitches, but we got 93 miles per hour sitting from Cortez, and we've seen a lot of 91 and change, so that's way better. That's really cool. Don't worry about the 3 walks from him in this one. Simeon Woods Richardson was 1 out away from essentially getting a win in 5 innings, but I mean, it was 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 1 strike. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Look, he got 4.2 innings of good ratios. You should be fine with that if you streamed him. It's still, a little underwhelming, but that certainly wasn't bad if you did that. Kyle Gibson against the Orioles, 4 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. 84 pitches for 4 innings. Yeah, don't go after Gibson. Okay, cool. Awesome. I know it's 0 runs and all that kind of stuff, and it really is not so bad. It's just, I don't really love Gibson, honestly. I think that there's just, there's just not enough in the tank for me to get excited. Here I am praising Woods Richardson, and I'm not praising Kyle Gibson for pretty similar lines. And maybe I should be giving more benefit of the doubt to Kyle Gibson, but if it was Simeon Woods, it's just, I feel like there's more of a, oh yeah, cool, you did that against the Nationals, makes more sense. With Gibson, the Orioles, he labored and got away with it. John Means against the Cardinals, 3 innings of 0 runs. He left this game with elbow soreness. Yeah. We don't expect Means to show up anytime soon, and it stinks, and I hate it, and I've been waiting for Means to really be the pitcher that he deserves to be with a winning team behind him for like 3 years, and I'm so sad about it. Brandon Hughes opened for Ryne Nelson, who went against the Dodgers and was 5 innings of shutout ball, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. This was a lot of pump your fastball over the plate and not really good cutters, and that's unfortunate to me, so unfortunately, Ryne Nelson is not really at a place where I feel like I can trust that. Max Fried had a dominant outing. 9 innings of 1 earned run. 3 hits, 0 walks, and 9 Ks. Oh, this is the guy. Yes. Thank you, Fried. We needed this. Command overall was pretty good. 18 whiffs for a co-share of the Gallows pole with Jesus Luzardo. 36% CSW. And his curve and slider had 14 whiffs between them. That is a huge, huge thing. 7 whiffs each. Now, the changeup was not. And I'm a little weirded out by that because the changeup is the thing that made us feel really good about Max Fried for 2 years, right? It wasn't just, you know, 1 year of it. It was 2 years of the changeup becoming the pitch that really made him complete. And without that being there and the others stepping up, that's cool. But remember the whole thing about old skills and new skills? That is, when the old skill disappears, oftentimes a new skill shows up. More times than not, the new skill fades before the old skill returns. So, still slightly cautious, but I mean, this is 2 times that Freeze gun on frames down. That's pretty dang cool. He's like one of the rare guys that can do that. It's pretty awesome. Austin Gomber against the Oakland Athletics. I called this a streamer for the Fireside chat, but I still put him in Do Not Start because I just felt it was too risky, but for Fireside to go a little bit bolder. 8 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Unbelievable. 39% CSW. His curve was a 54% CSW with a 75% strike rate. Changeup and four-seamer got outs as well. If you want to Vargas rule this, go ahead. He gets Cleveland in Coors, and then he goes in to LA for the Dodgers. I don't think that's going to work out, guys, but that's 5 out of his last 6 starts of 1 or run or fewer. That's pretty ridiculous here in the King Cole here. Unreal. Tyler Anderson is also a Vargas rule at the moment. I don't really think that this is going to last for a while, but his changeup has been working well. 8 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. And yes, of course, I did get a text from Fast. He's like, oh, by the way, and happy birthday. No, I'm just kidding. It was really sweet. But Tyler Anderson also had a good cutter in this one. And that's nice. He did this against the Astros, which is absolutely unreal. But then he's going to get the Yankees next. Like, do you trust Tyler Anderson against the Yankees? Probably not. But, you know, you do what you want. I get it. Like, maybe you still hold on to Tyler Anderson because you believe that he's going to last further than that. Like, maybe he does. Maybe he does. We have Freddy Peralta, and we have Hunter Brown, and Michael King, and Jared Jones, and Brian Bayo, and so on and so forth. We're going to talk about all of that, and of course, tomorrow's starters after this break.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the 2-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With Erleta, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleta is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleta may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleta can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleta is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleta.com, CP43-9267-V1.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Freddy Peralta against the Miami Marlins, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. And what's kind of nuts is what, you know, think to yourself right now, what is the best pitch that Freddy Peralta throws? You know this. It's his four seamer. Has always been, you know, this whole astronaut meme. However, 23 over 46 strikes in that four seamer while everything else was great. Just kind of wild. I don't know if I really believe that. Yeah, it's weird, but at least he's doing well, and that's a cool thing. I still have my fears of Peralta because he only dominates when, well, sustainably, when the four-seamer is the pitch that leads the way, and he has not really showcased changeups, sliders, and curves being that pitch in the past, so, I'm not quite believing that right now, but hopefully I can in the future. Hunter Brown against the Angels, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. This was a lot of called strikes with his four-seamer, and then the secondary's not really doing much. Not here, not back. Mitch Spence against the Rockies, 3 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. You're like, who is this guy? That's fine. He's like a worse version of Graham Ashcraft. And you're like, wait, worse? Right, exactly. Don't do that. Pitches for the Athletics. No. Michael King against the Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati. Guess what? He did some Blake Snell blueprint stuff with changeups down and some fastballs upstairs. He looked more like himself. I know this isn't really that good of a line. It's a sub-1 whip, 6 Ks, but 3 earned runs. He really is not the cherry bomb that we've seen. He's more of this Holly. I really do believe that with Michael King. I think he's a good good command guy. Changeup is getting a lot of whiffs here. He's good, guys. Stick with Michael King. Jared Jones, 2 straight starts of a little bit of disappointment. This was a very poor quality start of 6 innings, 3 earned runs, and 9 base runners exactly. You add an extra base runner, sorry, extra V for every base runner, which is kind of fun. But that's very, very, very. But no, this was just exactly 9 on the dot, which aren't good ratios, and he didn't get a win. So if you're not in a quality start league, blech. It was 5 strikeouts. What's going on? Well, still 16 whiffs and 32% CSW. So it just didn't go his way. Actually, you know, watching this, like, his fastball was still upstairs, and his slider was there. I mean, yeah, Jared Jones is still good. Velocity's still good. Like, feel good about Jared Jones still. Brian Bayo against the Rays got the win. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 8 base runners, 6K. So slightly worse. Slightly better than Jared Jones overall. Got the win. And 1 fewer base runner. However, just 9 whiffs, as opposed to 16 and 27% CSW, same number of pitches, just about. The changeup wasn't as good. And there is something to be said about why I was a little bit more in Bayo this year, because when the changeup isn't good, last year Bayo was an atrocity. But now at least he got you a win in 6 innings and 300 runs because the slider is there and the slider helps out more. So that's a cool thing. He goes into Baltimore next, which is unfortunate. And his Baltimore, he is a right-hander. That could still very much work, especially with a changeup that could nullify all of their left-handed bats. So I'm still encouraged by that one. I think you're okay starting Brian Bayo against Baltimore. Jose Quintana against Cleveland, inside of Cleveland, which has become a home run park, apparently. 6 innings, 3 runs. So you got your poor quality start, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Good fastballs and changeups in this one, a little bit too weird on the other ones. But I'm not quite convinced yet, and it's also the Dodgers, so I'd pretty much stay away from Quintana. Glasnow has had 2 straight starts now as the SP1 on my list, and guess what? They both haven't been elite, which is so funny. I'm so sorry, everyone. I have such great influence. But 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Like, this still was a good start for the most part. It was 1 extra earned run than you wanted, but he did get the loss, which is unfortunate. But 6 Ks, 17 whiffs, 27% CSW, he was normal. That's fine. I mean, as long as Zach Wheeler comes through and becomes Zach Wheeler in his next start, then sure, he becomes SP1. What's also really funny is that I had a temptation to put Scooble at SP1, and he didn't deserve it. So it's kind of funny right now how there really isn't that de facto SP1. There usually is. Like, it's Garrett Cole, or it's Spencer Strider, or it has been maybe Corbin Burns at a time, or obviously Jacob deGrom, etc. But right now, it's all these guys like, Tristan McKenzie against the Mets, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. And do not say it's Ranger Suarez, please. 0 for 52 whiffs on a sub 90 mile per hour four seamer. It's time to let it go, guys. It's time. Slider also was really badly commanded. Had a higher CSW than the curveball, but yeah, that thing was a wreck. Tywin Walker against the Rangers, 4.2 innings of 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. I still cannot believe. I can't believe that the Phillies saw Spencer Turnbull doing what he's doing. They saw Tywin Walker and they go, yes, we want to go with Tywin Walker. I mean, can you please just make the switch for all of us? Ryan Pepiot had a still ill because he was coming back from the IL and did not have a rehab start, only threw 66 pitches, 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. But yeah, he really
did not look good.
Four seamer was all over the place. So I would write this off. I mean, it's still ill. You get to the athletics next. You should start that one. 75 pitches. That should be fine for Pepio next start. Dean Dunning also had a still ill against the Phillies, and obviously that didn't go well. So no, thank you. Blake Snell, he had a still ill as well, because he was only at 66 pitches in his last, 60 pitches in his last rehab start. It was such a good rehab start. 10 Ks, 0 walks, 5 innings. This was 3.1 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks, because this is like the normal version, which is everything kind of out of the zone and overthrowing it. And he did go 87 pitches for what it's worth. So here's the thing. Blake Snell gets the Phillies next. You're like, oh, it's the Phillies. I'm not going to pitch him there. No, no, no. Blake Snell is matchup agnostic. He's one of those guys. When you think about general disarray pitchers, the ones that are just kind of like throwing it and hoping that they get enough strikes and everything along those lines, those are the guys that are stuffists, and if they get enough strikes, then they win, right? So it doesn't really matter if he's going against the Phillies or not, if he's going against Pittsburgh. Here, Blake Snell, if you execute what you want to do, you will succeed. He's not cooking yet because he got those 4 walks and 5 Ks. He's 4 hits in there too. It's not the classic last year Snell yet, because he's not being that neckbeard just good enough. Now, I just said neckbeard and general disarray. Which one is Blake Snell? I think he's both. It's the weirdest thing. He's general disarray who works best as a neckbeard. Does that make sense? Neckbeard is where you live right outside the zone, and general disarray is when you throw down the middle and hope for the best. I think there are times that he does both. Does that make sense? He's chaos. All right, cool. Justin Steele went 6.1 innings and 5 earned runs against Atlanta. That is so disappointing, isn't it? 7 base runners and 5 Ks. Well, there's two things here. One, he was looking great for 6 innings. 2 earned runs. It was fine. And then all of a sudden they left him in to the 7th, and he 3 base runners and all scored. What? Careful Icarus here completely. And that's a Craig Ferguson reference. If you don't know that one, it's just made it to the site. But Justin Steele looked a lot better as far as his command went. First 3 starts coming off of the IL. Really, the first game of the year he was looking good, and then he had the hamstring injury that was against Spencer Strider, if you can believe it. I believe that was, right? Cubs in Atlanta, and I had both on my team, and it was just the most horrible thing ever. No, it wasn't Atlanta, but still, he got hurt in that first game. Rangers. It was Rangers. That was so disappointing. He came back first 2 starts were really, really bad command. The third one was better, but still not there. And this was finally Justin Steele being like, no, I have my fastball upstairs and inside of righties, and also the sliders more down and into righties. Like, that's it. Good. And then, of course, that stupid 7th inning. So I'm in now on Justin Steele. I think like the next start against the Brewers is going to be much better. I'm buying low. Let's do this. Bryce Miller against the Yankees. This is what I was kind of afraid of. It was a start, 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. He allowed 3 home runs. Okay, so yeah, that is an issue. The one was a slider that was away to Aaron Judge, but it got a lot of the plate at 88. It wasn't the most filthy slider. And there's something to be said about Bryce Miller just being so fastball dependent, not really being that good against lefties. It's still an issue. I don't see a difference of Bryce Miller this year versus last year. It needs to be a bigger stark difference. We're not there yet. Do I think it can? Yes. Do I think over time Bryce Miller does figure this out, because I generally think that what he does is good. It's just not polished, and he just needs more time. This is what development looks like, failure. What is development if not failure? So let's hope that he gets there the later this year. Nick Martinez and Nick Nastrini, just because, of course, it was my birthday yesterday, the Knicks needed to fail. Duh. Now, Nick Martinez, I don't know what you're doing, man. I've been such a big fan of Nick Martinez. I see how good he can be, but it just isn't executed right, doesn't get the opportunities, I don't know. And this one, I don't get. He had a 6-pitch mix, okay? He threw 7 changeups, tied for his least thrown pitch is changeup. Why? Your changeup is your best pitch by far, Nick Martinez. And look, you returned 4 over 7 strikes. It wasn't like you didn't have it. You tried to save it. You tried to get too cute against your alma mater. No, just throw the dang change of 40% of the time. I'm not even kidding. Nick Martinez, to me, could be a better version of Michael Wacha. Like, Martinez's changeup is so filthy, and he has better secondaries than I think Wacha does. But you know what? Keep doing this and going 5 earned runs in 4.2 innings. I don't know. The Jays, 3.1 innings, 8 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks. Sorry, the Jays. 6 walks and 0 Ks. That is Nick Nastrini getting an opportunity again for the White Sox. And what's so interesting to me about Nastrini is that he has had like 3 of these games now where it's like 5 walks or more, and he's just lost. And it's so mental to me, because when he's not, he's actually pretty good. And it's such a, you know, it's easy to classify guys because we just look at the numbers and we say, well, he has this kind of walk rate and he has this kind of strikeout rate. And it's so binary, though, with Nastrini, that to me makes it more believable that he can just flip a switch at some point. Like, no, I'm finally comfortable. I'm taking Lexapro and I'm okay on the mound, right? So, yeah, Nastrini, sorry it didn't work out, buddy. You're probably going back to the minors now. I hope they honestly just give him a chance. Why? Because the White Sox, what do you got to lose? Just let Nastrini figure it out. You know, find one day of confidence and let him build on that instead of just jumping back and forth. Like, give him this year of development where there's nothing to lose. That's really what the guy needs. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's games. And just a short thing for today, AJ Smith-Shawver is going instead of Darius Vines against the Cubs. No, I don't want to start him for this. I'm excited to see it. If you want to spec at him and bench him, I get that. But AJ Smith-Shawver to me is too questionable of command to make this work. Also, treat this like an MLB debut because he did show up last year, but this is his debut of the season. And that carries the same kind of emotions, especially for the young, I believe he's 22. He was 21 last year, if I remember this correctly. He is actually still just 21. That's absurd. He was born in 2002. I can do things in November. So he's just 21 years old. He was 20 last year. Like, he's going to have emotion assigned to him. He's going to have a lot of emotion. And also, Mason Black is the opener. Ben Brown is starting for the Cubs, but I imagine that's going to be limited. So all of that, I just wouldn't touch today. Tomorrow's games, though, we've got a lot. We've got Corbin Burns, Shota Imanaga, George Kirby, Zach Gallen, all aces going to ace. Of course, Seth Lugo and Carter Crawford are pitching too well, and they have good matchups. Of course, you're doing that. You also have Mackenzie Gore, Yu Darvish, Justin Verlander, Bailey Ober, Christian Scott, Carlos Rodon, Christopher Sanchez, Alec Manoa, and Logan Allen in my probable starts. All those, I think, are pretty straightforward. The order you might want to switch around with, like, Ober and Darvish getting bad matchups and whatnot. But Alec Manoa and Logan Allen do deserve to be here. Why? Because Manoa has gone two straight starts of 7-plus innings, and now he gets the Tigers. I just feel like you should just keep rolling with that. And Logan Allen looked really good last time, gets a good matchup against the Angels. He's our stream pick of the day. I think Logan Allen is in a good place. PLV loves him. PLBot loves him. I say, you know what? I'm going to lean in on that. I think that Logan Allen can execute well against the Angels. Questionable starts here. Patrick Sandoval has had a good run. I don't trust his changeup and slider command to be consistent. Thus, he is a questionable start against the Guardians. They're on the road, which is a little bit better. You have Michael Lorenzen against the Twins. Sure. Maybe there's a cheap win there or a quality start. Same thing with Paxton against the Reds, really, for the win. And you have Kyle Harrison, who could get some strikeouts against the Mets. And the do not start tier, I don't really trust Tyler Alexander against the Royals. Matt Manning, we haven't really seen it against the Jays. Darius Vines against Pittsburgh. He was against the Cubs yesterday. I was like, not so in on that. But Pittsburgh maybe a little bit better still. You might get a cheap win or something. I don't know. Maybe it's like four innings and change. Braxton Garrett hasn't showcased his good self yet against Arizona. Miles Michaelis against the Cubs. Bryce Wilson's got one good start in that sentence in Fenway. No. Billy Falter against Atlanta. No. Graham Ashcraft against Dodgers. Ross Stripling against the Astros. Chris Flexen against the Orioles. And Ty Block against the Phillies. No, thank you. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are.
Go, 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 go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.